regular.
Two kids fell on the ice.
Please, God, send your Holy Spirit to save my son.
Join Sid for this edition of It's Supernatural.
So, Jason, your father's a pastor, and of course, today you're a pastor.
Yes.
At age 8, you become a believer. And it was almost a normal type of thing. You go to Sunday school at 9, and what happens?
I got filled with the Holy Spirit. God's power just showed up, and it was just a normal Sunday. I had leaders that believed that it was so important to introduce kids to the supernatural, and they did. I mean, got filled with the Spirit, and from there, seeing God just do incredible miracles of healing, people raised from the dead. It's been an incredible experience to watch God move.
Tell me your definition of a miracle.
A miracle to me is God doing only what He could do. There's no other answer. It's an impossible situation where the only answer is God showing up.
Jason was involved in a miracle. And it was such a major miracle. Hollywood made a motion picture of this. What's the name of the picture?
The movie's called Breakthrough, and now it's available anywhere where you can pick up movies.
Well, tell me about John Smith. You made that name up, right?
No, I can't say I did. But yeah, I mean, I'd gotten the call. It was January 19th, 2015, St. Louis, Missouri. A 14-year-old boy had fallen through the ice in Lake St. Louis. He was under for 15 minutes. They pulled him out, and he was dead. I mean, icicles hanging off of his body. His body was gray. They worked on him for another 45 minutes, an hour and 8 minutes altogether with no pulse, no oxygen. And so after an hour and 8 minutes, they were ready to call time of death. I mean, the doctors know after basically 2 minutes, the chance of living is pretty much non-existent. Joy Smith walked in the room. John had been adopted from Guatemala, and she said, "I am not letting my son go." In a split minute decision, she walked up to her dead, cold son's feet.
But how does she even know to do this?
Well, and that's a great, great perspective. She was preparing months before, and she didn't even know. You know, and what started it for her is she had seen that Abraham was a friend of God. And she started this study. She said, why was Abraham known as a friend of God? And God took her on this journey that would lead her up to this hospital room where she stood in front of John. And you know, so many times as believers, we wait till the middle of the storm to prepare for it. But we have to prepare before the storm to build our foundation ahead of time. And that means being in God's Word, that means praying, that means being desperate for Him. So she walks up and she grabs her son's cold feet. And at that moment, they said that literally when she prayed, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. The power of God went up his body so strong that it literally knocked the medical professionals off of his body.
Where's a television camera when I want it?
Right. Right, exactly. And at that moment, his heartbeat came back, his pulse came back, he had a pulse. They transferred him down to St. Louis Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital, where they said he's brain dead, that there's a 1% chance he'll make it overnight. If he does make it, he'll be a vegetable the rest of his life. You know, and what we learned walking out of that is God does a miracle, but sometimes you have to fight for the completion of that miracle. We walked into that room and we began to pray, Lord, restore his lungs, like breathe life back into him. And as I prayed that prayer, I turned around and in the room, I see two angels that are floor to ceiling. I mean, and they were on guard. And I'd seen those two angels in a lady's room that I'd prayed with 4 years earlier in Port Angeles, Washington. I'd gotten the call that she was 15 minutes from death, 85 years old, had never, ever mentioned the name of Jesus or given her heart to the Lord. I got down by her ear and I whispered, ma'am, you are on the edge of eternity. Because I think the greatest miracle that we'll ever experience is salvation. That's the greatest miracle. So I squeezed her hand and I said, ma'am, you're on the edge of eternity. If you want to ask Jesus in your heart, and I felt her faintly squeeze. Within 50, and I turned around and she squeezed my hand and those same two angels were in the room. And within 15 minutes, I started seeing the color of life come back into her. She was awake in 30 minutes. And after an hour, she said, I gave my life to Jesus. And she walked out of the hospital a day later. And so I knew with John that God had done something. So we continued to pray, Lord, restore his brain. And over his brain, I saw like a million colors, like God was just knitting his brain. Because I believe that God's still a creator. If he created the heavens and the earth, he can still create today. And we prayed, and literally he opened his eyes. I saw life. I walked to Joyce and I said, I don't know how, I'm not sure when, but he is walking out of this hospital and he'll be completely healed.
How could you know that? How could you make a statement to a mother that her son is dead.
Yep.
And I guess if he ever, for some miracle, became alive, he'd be brain dead.
Because I saw life in his eyes, and I knew those two angels. I'd seen them before, and I knew it. I walked out. We said, he is walking out of the hospital. And we held on to that. The next morning, I came back, though. And it was about 9 a.m., and walk in, and he's still in bad shape. I mean, like, you know, he was still in a coma. Doctors were still saying there was no hope. I walk up to his bed. And I said, John, this is Pastor Jason. And we'd actually never met. I'd only been their pastor for 3 months at this point. And I walked up to his bed and I said, John, this is Pastor Jason. And tears started rolling down his eyes. And I said, do you want me to stay with you? And he shook his head, yes. And at that moment, I felt like the Lord said, as a shepherd, there are times that I call pastors to leave the 99 for the one, and that's what I'm calling you to do. And I stuck by his side. We saw God do incredible miracles. He walked out of the hospital completely healed and whole 16 days later.
How old is John Smith now, and what is his health like?
John Smith is 19 years old, and he was cleared by all doctors 40 days after that. He is perfectly fine.
And there's a word that God taught you.
Yep.
And most people don't know they know what the word means, but they don't know what you're referring to.
Right.
God said positioning. Did he speak to you with an audible voice?
An audible voice, because I was wrestling with this. I go, you know, and even before John's accident, I was wrestling with reading the book of Acts, seeing people in incredible need today, knowing God could do miracles that we read about in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, but not seeing it today. There's a disconnect. And I was praying, Lord, do what you did in the book of Acts today. We need you to show up. People need breakthrough. And a week later, John Smith happened. And as we walk through that process, I go, okay, Lord, like, I know we can't dictate the outcomes of miracles. We can't be really focused, but what do we need to do? And I started this study through the scripture of looking at every miracle and realizing that God always chooses to partner with us when he's about to do a miracle, a breakthrough, whether that be in finances or health, or he always uses a human component, and we need to position ourselves for a miracle. And the greatest perspective is, it's like a baseball analogy. You're out in third, out in right field, out in the, you know, and you don't know when a ball's coming, but when it comes, you got to be ready to catch it. And that's the best way of how to position ourselves, I think, for a miracle, to be ready for what God wants to do.
I want you to take me through how Joyce Smith positioned herself for her son's miracle.
Yeah, definitely. When she walked into that room, she'd heard the report. She knew exactly what the doctors were saying about John, that he was dead. And in a split second, because I believe that if she would have made a different move, if she would have said, okay, I'm just going to allow my son to die, he would have been gone. But in a split second, and so many times, it's our split second response when we get that call and life turns upside down, what we do in that split second will dictate if we're going to position ourselves for a miracle or not. When Joyce walked into that room, she didn't have to think about it. It was inside of her. She grabbed his feet and she prayed, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. There was not any other talk. And you know what I always say is that when we get into a moment like that, what we put inside of us is what comes out. And that's why it's so important to before it even happens, you know, before we're even in a situation, to be putting that stuff inside of us to know. And what stuff am I talking about? The scripture, God's principles, how do we position ourselves, that stuff inside of us so that when that moment comes, that we can do what Joyce did and position ourselves and believe God for a miracle.
God told him so many things.
Yes.
In addition to how to position yourself, God told him to ignore certain things. Imagine, ignore them. We'll be right back.
right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Now, angels play a big part in everything that you do. Tell me about Shelley.
So the week after that Friday, John was in the hospital on Monday. That Friday, I got a call from a lady who said, were there two angels in John's room on Monday night? Pastor, and I said, yeah, there were. I saw them. And she goes, I saw those two angels in his room also. And they were the same angels that were in my room when I was 16 years old, dying in a hospital. They showed up and I was completely healed.
Now, you talk about every miracle in the Bible, and you trace them, all have human components. Explain that.
Yeah, every miracle, whether that be Jesus or it be other people, the disciples, or it be the four friends that carry the man to Jesus and drop him through a roof, there's always people that position themselves who would line themselves up with how they acted and played their part and played their role with what God's word said about being that conduit that he could work in our lives. He loves to partner with us. And so I want to be the type of a person that says, man, God, I want to partner with you, and I want to see breakthrough in my life and in the people's lives all around me. We all want a miracle, but it always starts with a crisis. And how we respond when that, and to be honest, we're always only one call away from a crisis. I mean, life could be turned upside down in a minute, and what do we do? And what I'm coming along and encouraging them is, no, don't let fear, don't let worry, don't let anxiety take over, but position yourself. That's where we stand on God's promises, and we speak life, and we hold on to what God's promised no matter what we see. We work, you know, I always say to people, what's your go-to? What is the go-to in your life when your life turns upside down?
And you also talk about believe and obey.
Yes.
That's simple.
Very simple. Believe and obey. You know, I've heard people say, well, I must not have enough faith for Jesus to do a miracle in my life. And the Bible says we either have it or we don't, the size of a mustard seed. And we're given that faith. And, it, you know, I tell people all the time, if you've lost your faith, go back to the point of salvation and get it restored. But belief is something we can build. I always say this, like faith is like knowing there's a gym. Belief is like actually going and working out. Yeah.
Big difference.
Big difference.
Give me an example of what you've just been teaching. You were at Costco's.
Yeah, I was at Costco one day, and I'd walked in. I was probably hanging out at the Oreo cookie aisle, you know, kind of just enjoying those a little bit. No, I'm kidding.
That's where you like to evangelize. Yeah.
But I walked in, and I met a lady from our church, and she said, man, I've been having massive headache. I've been having just massive migraines. And I said, oh, I'll pray for you. The Christian line, I'll pray for you, and walked on and went about my business. About three aisles down, God said to me, you're not going to pray for her. I go, well, I think I plan on it. He goes, no, you need to get back and do it right now. Don't leave here without praying. And so I did it. I went down and I prayed for her, and she was automatically set free. And so you wonder how many opportunities we miss because we don't take that moment right away. Believe and obey.
You talk about there's things in life we have to ignore. Yeah. And you even talked about Jairus' daughter.
Yes. Oh, yeah, because, I mean, when Jesus came on the scene, the family was saying, no, she's dead. Why didn't you come? You know, and Jesus ignored it. He didn't answer them. And I think in our lives, we have to ignore things like doctor's reports or when doctors say there's nothing else we can do. That's when Jesus gets to step in and incredible things happen. There's things that we have to, even some friends we need to ignore. If you have friends in your life like Job, you need to ignore them.
It's not so easy to ignore a doctor's report.
That's right.
Who says you have cancer and you have 4 months to live.
Right.
So what would you do if such a horrible report came to you?
Man, I'd take it to God. I'd just say, God, this is what I'm hearing. What do you say? What's your truth about it? Speak to me. And, you know, the hard part of that, here's the hard part, is holding on to that. Yeah. Holding on to what God says, but when God speaks, you can hold on to it. I've even heard believers say that I've tried everything that there is to try. Now I guess I can pray. Like prayer is their last resort. And I say, no, pray first. Like, what are you desperate for? Are you desperate for God to show up? Or are you spending more time on WebMD trying to figure it out? I mean, like, what are you desperate for? And that's an important question, desperation. Like the lady with the issue of blood, she was desperate in Scripture, where she would be willing to travel and meet Jesus and be so glad just to touch his garment. Many of us would have given up. She was desperate.
Okay, what happens when you see so many miracles, but then the people you pray for die? There's a lot of people in that situation. Next.
We will be right back to It's Supernatural.
Call now and get Jason Noble's powerful book and anointed 13-session teaching on 4 audio CDs. Breakthrough to your miracle. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $39. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9656. Pastor Jason Noble witnessed firsthand the resurrection of a local teenage boy. The story was made into a successful motion picture. Breakthrough. This life-changing miracle began Jason's mandate to walk in the supernatural. In Jason Noble's brand new powerful book, Breakthrough to Your Miracle, he reveals how you can position yourself to receive your miracle. Jason Noble explores biblical and present-day accounts to stir your faith, shows how God works in believers to invade the natural with the supernatural, identifies how to walk through times of crisis from a biblical perspective, provides principles and tools to help you welcome the miraculous into your life. Each chapter includes a breakthrough prayer, position yourself questions, and group discussion questions to align yourself for miracles. God longs to work wonders in your life. This book will help you believe with boldness. You will also receive Jason Noble's anointed 13 teaching sessions on 4 audio CDs, Breakthrough to Your Miracle. In this powerful teaching series, Jason not only shares how you can receive your own miracle, but also how you can be a conduit for God to do the miraculous through you. This audio teaching series is also available as a digital download if you order online today at sidroth.org. Don't miss out on getting Jason Noble's powerful book and anointed 13-session teaching on 4 audio CDs, Breakthrough to Your Miracle. This is an exclusive offer for our It's Supernatural audience. Yours for a donation of $39. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9656. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9656 or log on to sidroth.org. Call or write today.
So, sometimes, I know this has happened with me.
Yeah.
I prayed for people with incurable diseases. And they have died.
Yeah.
It happened with you. Tell me a case.
It did. We had a young man in our church who had melanoma cancer. He had given his life to the Lord. He was 33 years old, had 2 kids. We began to pray for him. And through the process, we were believing God to just show up and just do incredible miracles in his life. And it came right down to the end of his life where I asked him, I said, man, like, do you want us to keep fighting? Are you ready to go home? What do you want us to do? And he said, I'm ready to go home. And at that point, I went to his mom and I said, listen, like, he's ready and you have to release him. We're going to release him, but we're going to fight until the very last minute because I believe that God could heal him. But the reality of it is that death is part of life and that we're all going to die. Lazarus isn't here. John will die someday. We're all going to face that. That's why eternity is the question. The greatest miracle is salvation. And I tell people all the time, I've heard people say, well, I prayed and my loved one wasn't healed. They died. And I said, no, you have to change that around. They were healed. They weren't healed the way you wanted them to be healed, but they were healed as they stepped into eternity and God gave them a new body. It wasn't what you wanted, but we don't always get what we want. I tell people all the time, I prayed for more people that have died than lived. That's part of this. And then with that, when families have to walk through tragedy like that, I'm so thankful that Jesus walks right beside us.
I want you to repeat a prayer with me. I want you to know God. You have something inside of you called your spirit that wants to know God, is jumping up and down right now to know God. There's nothing else. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
I've made many mistakes. And I'm so sorry.
I believe
the blood of my Messiah Jesus. Washes away all my mistakes.
And I'm clean.
It's so good to be clean.
It's so good to be clean.
And now that I'm clean.
Now that I'm clean.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Jesus, come and live inside of me.
Take over my life.
Take over my life.
I make you my Lord.
I make you my Lord.
I want to experience you.
I want to experience you.
I want to feel your love.
I want to feel your love.
I want to be able to love you.
I want to love you.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Jason, you say big belief leads to big prayers.
That's right. When you believe God's promises and you believe in all that He says, you can pray big. People say all the time, well, what if you would have prayed and God didn't answer? And I knew He would answer one way or another, and I was confident in that. When I took that prayer request for John, I said, God, whatever you want to do, I know what I'd like to see, but whatever you want to do, and we're going to pray big. We're going to pray and because our belief is big in what you say and who you are.
Shara, tell me about her.
Shara was an incredible lady in our community who won so many people to the Lord, but her husband one day had gotten an asthma attack through spraying things on their bushes. And basically, when we got called on the scene, he had went into cardiac arrest. His lungs were, petrified, basically. And so they were so hard that he couldn't breathe. And we walked in the room and we started praying big prayers, exactly like what we did with John. And in that process, we just prayed, God, restore him, heal him. He ended up at the hospital. It looked bad. We continue to pray. It's so important to put worship and prayer and the atmosphere. And really, what we did in Shara's situation is we kicked anyone out of the room that had doubt. They just said, listen, there's no room for it.
Well, Jesus did that.
Right. Right. Because we also believe in the power of speaking life over your situation. And so there was no doubt. And within just a few moments, one day, he just started turning around. He walked out of the hospital completely healed. The doctor said there was no hope. He was brain dead, kind of the same situation. And we prayed big prayers for him. They really do work.
I don't think that Joyce Smith had a lot of practice in praying for dead people.
No, I don't think so either. She would tell you that too. But she knew what was inside of her is what came out at that moment. And God, so many times, God's preparing us for things that we don't know about. And we have to hold on to that and believe that God is setting us up for a miracle.
Okay. You have seen so many miracles.
Yeah.
You're just special.
No.
How about us?
No, we're not special. Joyce and I, we always say that. Listen, we are nobody special. If God can do it for John, He can do it for you. We are not special. What we've done is we've taken a hold of what God's promises and what God's Word has said, and we've held on to them.
Okay, there are people here, and you talk about it, that are watching us right now and in the studio audience that are in desperate, I mean desperate,
yes,
situations, and you need a breakthrough. Would you pray for a breakthrough for
me? I will.
Right,
and I want to tell you, if God can do it for John, He can do it for you. No matter what area of life you're needing a breakthrough, it could be your job, it could be your finances. You may have children that need to be resurrected who have walked away from the Lord. And I want to pray today. And my prayer is that God would encourage and just fill you with hope and to hang on until you see God show up. So let's pray. Jesus, right now, we thank you that you are the God of breakthrough. Lord, no matter what we see, no matter what we're walking through, no matter what we're facing, Lord, there are people today who are watching this broadcast. They're facing impossible situations. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of the possible. Lord, you make all things that seem impossible possible. And Lord, I pray you'd restore their hope today. God, I pray that you'd encourage them, that you'd lift them up, that you'd strengthen them. Lord, I pray that right now, people that are maybe right on the edge and ready to give up, I pray that, Lord, you would encourage them. Lord, give them more rope to hold on to. God, I pray that they would not give up. Lord, that they would keep their eyes on you. Lord, that they would ignore what they need to ignore. And Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would come and that you would just send your ministering angels right now. And Lord, that situations would change, that people would be healed. Lord, that they'd see breakthrough in their finances. Lord, I thank you that you are a God of breakthrough. And Lord, if you can do it for John Smith, you can do it for us. Lord, I pray a blessing upon everyone that is listening. Lord, I pray you'd restore hope, that you'd restore life, and that you'd give them strength right now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
In His presence. And I tell you, that prayer was prayed in His presence.
Amen.